This is Deanna, and our guest today is Mark R. Elsis, and his website that he will be putting a lot of information up will be November 22nd, 1963.com. And I just looked, and yesterday was my 6-year anniversary on RBN. I did my first program on a Saturday night on October 25th, 2010. I was scared to death, absolutely scared to death. I'd been a guest on some programs, but doing my own, it's a scary thing. But anyway, here we are, 6 years later. Okay, enough reminiscing.
Okay. Hey, congratulations! It's good to reminisce. It's congratulations.
It is.
Really, yeah. Six years of what you've done on RBN. It's to me, you know, I can tell you, I've been on, I don't know how many times now, 20 times or whatever, as a guest, and I'm very honored to be able to, first of all, for RBN and for you both to have me on so many times and to discuss what I deem to be really important matters, historical matters that most people have in their whole life to not believe. Not most of the people in RBN's listening audience, it's mostly preachers to the choir, but this goes out. The tentacles, you never know where they go, and that's why we do it, to try to put out the best information. And I'm grateful to both you and RBN for this soapbox, this platform, to put forth what I'm putting forth today, especially that's near and dear to my heart, the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So it's
yes. I think it's near and dear to a lot of people's heart. And it's, gosh, I mean, you would think that by now we would, I don't know, you know, it's just one more thing that's going to go unresolved because, as you said earlier, the people that control the media can control the cover story. And that's what they've done.
Yep. They created the cover story, and then they propagated their own cover story everywhere in the media and put it forth, and lied. It's outright lies, and all along the way for this to occur and people to either go along with it or be compromised with it, or it ruined their life and they had to leave, and all sorts of, you know, most people went along with it. Sorry to speak, it's but you have. You know, here, I believe it was the United States that day. I mean, you could pick a day, whatever. I think it was the defining moment of the 20th century, that day, of what happened and to him and in broad daylight and to the country. Like, you ain't getting this back, kids. That's what happened.
It was,
and good luck. Okay? So it was, and we haven't got it back. And we haven't had any luck. And so it's been a lesser of two evils. There's been no man with his statesmanship, and I'm not saying this guy's perfect, okay? He's not. He's human, he had faults, his family had faults, but what he did, the transformation that would happen to him from in his 1,036 days while he was president was beyond immense, and he got thrown into it. It's like when you look, I'm seeing it now in a different way. It's sort of like, you see the Bay of Pigs, like I was saying, you know, in April. So within, you know, 3 months, less than 3 months, he's thrust into a major foreign policy debacle in the Bay of Pigs. And you have all of that. And I said that's going to be a section also. But you, like I said, or alluded to earlier, it was a setup for him to, he would have to send in the Air Force to save the day. And you know, that's the way Alan Dulles and everybody thought they had him cornered, and he didn't do it. And what you have out of that, by the way, Alan Dulles, is later that year, on November 28, 1961, Kennedy presented Dulles with the National Security Medal at the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. The next day, November 29, 1961, the White House released a resignation letter signed by Dulles. So he got rid of Dulles. By the way, he also got rid of Deputy Director of Plans, Richard Bissell, and Deputy Director General well on that day. And but it's Dulles who's the player, and
right.
and he resigned, and then you know, this is like I said with the Lyman Limitz, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, him not getting re-upped. This was 1 year earlier, and this was the same thing but worse. This was, we don't want you anymore, Alan, and your type and what you did. And so this was, you know, direct affrontal to the powers that be at the top of the chain. And Kennedy went after it, and him. And so when you see that the seven frontmen of the Warren Commission, one of them is Alan Dulles, one has to laugh at first when it's because they
it's amazing.
Like they tried to put Henry Kissinger on the 9/11.
Right,
it's the same, but they got Alan Dulles, and he was leading it. McClure was big time in it by getting people behind the scenes to go along with the single bullet. I mean, there was, you know, three of them didn't like it and didn't want to sign it, and Boggs was the big one that didn't want to sign it. And Hale Boggs, and everybody knows what happened to Hale Boggs. Hale Boggs, his daughter is Kooky Roberts. I call her really Kooky Roberts. But anyway,
right, yeah.
Hale was the minority leader in the House. So this guy was a major player. He went up to Alaska to do some campaigning for Neil Bedich congressional race that was supposedly close, and their plane vanished and never was found.
Wow!
So
you go along with the people, or else.
Is it a coincidence yet again in the Kennedy case that this man was the most outspoken of the seven, and that he ends his demise and never being found?
Right.
I find it. You know, it's look, the statisticians with the peaking of all of the. Witness deaths, I call them, in 64, 63, late 63, it even started happening, 64 and 65, but mostly that Warren Commission report time. It was the London Times or something did it. It was, I don't know, 18 quadrillion to one or something. It's crazy odds. And I've seen other things. And I don't have it right in front of me, but it was beyond off the charts that I think it was 18 material witnesses, that's what it was, that could have died. And this thing, it was, the number was just ludicrous. And so, and then it happened, like I said, also when the House was doing this, and from the Rockefeller Church and then the House, in the mid to late 70s, you had another huge spike, you know, with Johnny Roselli being chopped up and Giacana being stabbed George DeMersio blowing his brains out and, you know, yeah, all of these major players and six different FBI agents, by the way, that was supposed to testify in front of the House committee, and they died. Six different FBI people.
Really? Now, what did they die? Do you know what they died of?
I don't have it in front of me. It just pops in my head, these things. So, but yes, it will be under a section of witness deaths, and it'll be a whole, you know, it'll be another major, major things of all these different things. And so it goes out there. With that, and that's what I'm trying to put together. All of these, every section is beyond belief in its own way, and so the utter preposterousness of, you know, all of these apologists, I call them, for the lone nut and the single bullet magic bullet theory people, and it's interesting because I look at their work, you know, even though and their apologistic work in to see. How they do it. It just, and you know, they have something, because some things are shady. So that's the areas I will look for another, you know, let's see what they have to offer, and these different people of the world, and you know, the Gerald Posner types of the world. I found some real good things on Begalusi's book, which, you know.
Yeah, I think I interviewed him.
Really?
Yeah. It's been a while, but I did.
Yeah, the book is not, There's different aspects of the book that I found, which was I have in my section, Single Bullet Theory. And it's that it's the in Begalusi's book, he asked, I think it's in, it's, yes, it is. He asked Warren Commission lawyer Norman Redlich, was asked by author Vincent Begalusi in 2005 whether Spector was the sole author of the single bullet theory. And he said, no, and this is in quotes, no. We all came to this conclusion simultaneously. And hold on, when asked, and by we, he said, quote, Arlen, myself, Howard Willens, David Berlin, and Mel Eisenberg. Close quote. Spector did not respond to Begalusi's request for a clarification on this issue. Begalusi 301 of 306 pages. Huh. So you have, which I came up with, by the way, Redlich, you know, this is the smoking gun that came to me, what, 3 years ago or whatever, because of my knowledge on the Holocaust, the tribunals, Nuremberg tribunals.
Right.
You had our guy Dodd giving a paraphrasing.
Right.
About that the Jews were, and it was a letter home to his wife. This is from memory, but he said more or less, the Jews, why don't they back off? Because you're 75% of all the things that are going behind the scenes, and it's a conflict of interest. Historians are going to look back on this and notice this and say,
but they're not. You know, people don't look back at historical things.
Yeah, I know, but luckily he thought this, and he wrote it down to his wife, and so I knew that from my Holocaust revisionism, and I said 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, I had this thing saying, take a look at who are the players, the 27 people behind that are the council and staff members, which is another whole section of this, 27 Warren Commission council and staff members, and my little voice said, look at who they are. And find out how many there were. There's 27 of them, and I went one by one through each one, and lo and behold, 19 of the 27, which is 70.37%, were Jewish. Wow. And so I gave this to a mathematician, and it was 1 in 392 quadrillion chance of it occurring. So that's an 18, one with an 18 digit number, okay, of this chance of having male Jews in the United States, which are approximately 1 in 100 at that point of time, to be 19 out of the 27 people that were the Warren Commission council and staff members. And the more I'm looking into this now, you see
right, it's all the people that were support staff on the Warren Commission.
Like you were saying earlier, all these people that you leave behind kind of thing. It's almost the same metaphor. It's that, well, these people were put there on purpose.
Sure.
Okay. So this is a smoking gun that I say it's irrefutable, and nobody wants to has gone through all 27 members and done the math and do it, blah, 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 to figure this out. And to me, this is, you know, I was just going to put this one page out about it and the single bullet theory because and go back to single bullet, you know, he says, Redlich says that it was Spector, Arlen, myself, Willens, Bellin, and Eisenberg. Well, the five people that came up to the single bullet conclusion simultaneously were all Jewish. Okay? Now, this is another thing. So this is, and it's in quotes in Begalusi's book. There's five members. He's stating that we came up with the single bullet theory. All five people are Jewish.
Wow.
What is the likelihood of that? 1 in 10 billion.
Right.
Okay? So put these two likelihoods together, and they came up with it simultaneously. It was like, oh, okay, thank you. I mean, that takes more chutzpah than chutzpah for to come up with this. And you have this being forth by a totally owned Jewish media. And so it's Oswald and a single bullet were put forth. And it, the story would change before that, but that was pretty much it from early on, from when they Hume had the bird his autopsy stuff and redo it, which is Hume was the head of the autopsy in Bethesda. I'm jumping again, but
sure.
Which it just makes me laugh because the head autopsy guy who never did a forensic autopsy in his life.
All of a sudden is, yeah, exactly.
And then he burns, all his notes.
But the thing is that the jurisdiction, the federal government didn't have jurisdiction over this.
There you go.
Just Parkland, because Parkland, he was a president doesn't, the crime happened under Jim Garrison's jurisdiction and...
In Texas you're talking about.
Oh,
Texas.
That's right.
With the body. Texas
right.
Law state you have with murder. Murder you have to have an autopsy in Dallas in Texas.
Exactly, and state. It had yes, and the case should have been under the jurisdiction of the people in Dallas. I mean,
and by the way, there was there's going to be a story. I have another section called Parkland Hospital Trauma Room One. Is a whole section in and of itself, and
wow.
that's one of the subsections because it is an unbelievable point that you bring up. This confrontation got nasty, and with the Secret Service and the Dallas and the physicians that were letting go of the body said no, you can't do it, and got in the way of the gurney,
right?
And the Secret Service literally picked him up and
yeah.
put him aside. They all showed their
allegiance
that they were carrying.
Yes, and they showed
yep.
their allegiance,
and they stole the body
right.
from Texas
right.
And that's when it began, and everything was stolen, by the way. Everything was sent to Washington that evening, huh? It's
right.
not just his body,
right? Everything.
Yep. It was a total clean out of a week. Hoover, you know, was talking right away. Anyway, and Hoover's another one. J. Edgar Hoover's another section in this. And the big party, you know, I was going to jump everywhere and laughing at myself because I wanted to get into, I started doing this and I was all over the place and I said, I got to start.
It's so hard to just focus on one particular aspect when there's so much.
Well, that's what I thought. And I said, I have to cut it into 100 sections with each other subsection. So at least I go, oh, it's in that section, and then I can go to it. So
sure.
For my own, and it's, but this foreknowledge, so it, like the first one I think I created was foreknowledge.
Right.
And I have, which of course is saying, huh, foreknowledge? You mean people? There was people that had foreknowledge that let it out.
Sure.
And yes, there were. And and when I just mentioned Hoover, that's what tripped me into this again. Is that the party at Clint Murchison's home on November 21st, 1963? Clint Murchison, a wealthy, most powerful oil player in Texas at the time. Had a big party for J. Edgar Hoover, supposedly, and for many, many others, including John J. McCloy, Richard Nixon. Madeleine Brown goes into this at length. The LBJ came later,
right?
That you had, and that's when.
All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How you doing? This is Jimmy from Zipa, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. All you people that like to procrastinate, the people that like to go ahead on Black Friday the night before and they camp out waiting for that great deal. Well, hello, newsflash, the deal for Zipa is now. The deal for Zipa is today. We do not reward procrastination. If you want a great price on a Zipa, go to Zipa.com and buy now. If you're going to go ahead and procrastinate, we're going to penalize you for it. What does that mean? That means the price of all the Zipas go up on Black Friday. And you know what happens on Cyber Monday? It goes up again. This is the last opportunity that you will have to get this great price for the Zipa. This is the time now. You wait till Black Friday, the price is going up. Because remember, sleep is priceless. Go to Zipa.com, that's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com, and get the deal now.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
And our guest is Mark R. Elsis, and he is talking, we are talking about the JFK, very public execution. Let me just share with you a couple comments from the chat room. It is amazing to me that my parents' generation didn't cry foul immediately after the JFK assassination because of the many anomalies. And my response to that is that people, the public, believe the very first version of something that is given on the air, the media. Whatever they hear first, they're going to believe. Let me just share one other comment. This is kind of funny. If you look closely, it was a plane that hit Kennedy, remote control from a cave in Cuba. I know that's light-minded. But it was kind of funny. Sorry.
Well, it's there's nothing around with the humor. Sometimes humor gets through to people. I've noticed it in my life when I can mix in like the most hard subjects with humor. Because, matter of fact, you can do it with Kennedy's assassination because of the craziness of different aspects that they try to get away. They try to get away with, like the single bullet. The magic bullet.
Yeah, I mean, it went through.
It is 7 entry and exit wounds, right?
Yes,
right. 7, and which it
through
which,
two
by
people,
the way, right? Yes, and through his ribs, and is through the second hardest bone of the body, the wrist, right? And it came out in pristine condition in a gurney in Falkland Hospital, which probably our friend Jacob Leon Rumstein planted.
Right.
I'm going to look into that. What I just said, and I say it with a grain of salt, but it looks like he probably did. And he was getting around that week.
Indeed. Now,
especially the day before it. Go ahead.
A caller called in to ask if Henry Kissinger was involved in any way. Have you run into anything like that?
No, not yet. It was a little early for him.
I think it was too. Yeah, I think he was probably still at Harvard.
I've never seen anything. I don't know his whole timeline in front of me, but
yeah.
I don't remember anything. I wouldn't put it past it because, of course, he became Henry Kissinger.
Sure.
The Jewish power, yeah. Foreign policy.
Yeah.
Opening up of China and everything in a Rockefeller boy from so he was a major player to groom these people, McGeorge Bundy, these kind
yes.
of people that are. And you have these types, and you have this is the transformation, and you have Kennedy going through this, and I can't say this enough. He was going through this major transformation, which was foisted upon him by the Bay of Pigs and then the Cuban Missile Crisis, an all-out nuclear war with the Soviets that would have caused hundreds of millions of deaths, if not maybe death for the whole planet through nuclear winter type of scenario, which is very possible. If they let go of more than 50 of these things at one time, which they had, and they were on this press at this point twice. He was within 18 months at the Bay of Pigs and at the Cuban Missile Crisis. So, and like I said, he got away, and he was surrounded by bad men. So was Khrushchev surrounded by bad men. That's why I'm saying again these correspondents behind the scene where they grew a trust
in both countries.
Really, yes. Yep, they were both surrounded by people that, and I didn't notice about Khrushchev, but I know it around Kennedy. It's people that, to the T, everyone was out of their minds. The only person that he could really go to was his attorney general, his brother Bobby
right.
Kennedy,
right?
And his own people, okay?
Yes.
Not some major players in his cabinet, but there were people he could go to and say anything, pretty much. But and go around, but
and
he was surrounded
happened to
by
Bobby Kennedy. Same thing. I mean,
yeah, that's yes. It's
coincidence, it's, not.
Yeah, I find a lot of by the way, one of these people in this foreknowledge says that we want Bobby really bad. And he was one of these anti-Castro Cuban. He was a CIA pilot, and it's in him quoting, not only want JFK, but we want Bobby real bad.
Sure, awesome.
I don't think that's the people that did it, but
okay, we're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Yep.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Mark R. Elsis, and we're talking about JFK, the very, very public execution, which sent a message to... Well, a lot of people, I think, from a few people. And the website is November 22nd, 1963.com. And I believe you have a an audio file. Mark, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, was there audio? Okay, is there an audio file that we have ready to go or no? Okay, the Arthur Kroc one.
Yes, you can play it.
About something which a lot of folks haven't heard too much about. Did you know about this article by Arthur Kroc? Younger people are saying, who's Arthur Kroc? Arthur Kroc was the single most respected journalist in America in the 1960s. He wrote on the editorial page of the New York Times. He was very close to the Kennedys. In fact, Joseph Kennedy, John Kennedy's father's first book was Ghost, written by Arthur Kroc. And young John Kennedy, when he was a young man and worked on his thesis, Why England Slept, he wrote it in Arthur Kroc's Georgetown Library with the help of Arthur Kroc. And then Arthur Kroc had it turned into a book and got him a literary agent. That's how close he was. John Kennedy, when he wanted to speak to the American people, talk to Arthur Kroc, and Arthur Kroc would publish material. This is October 3rd, 1963, editorial page of the New York Times. Arthur Kroc's column called The Intra-Administration War in Vietnam. And Arthur Kroc is saying John Kennedy has declared war on the Central Intelligence Agency, and John Kennedy wants the American people to know there are some very serious problems. And then he goes on to say, twice, according to a high a United States source. Twice the CIA flatly refused to carry out instructions from Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge, Epstein's ambassador to Vietnam. And in one instance, frustrated a plan of action Mr. Lodge brought from Washington, from John Kennedy, because the agency disagreed with it. You like that? The CIA disagreed with it. They don't do what the president says. Then it goes on. Listen to this. The CIA's growth was likened to a malignancy, which the very high official was not sure even the White House could control any longer. And listen to this. If the United States ever experiences an attempt at a coup to overthrow the government, it will come from the CIA. That's John Kennedy talking to the American people in October. The next month they blew his head off, and there's the Warren Commission, and they don't ask Arthur Kroc, where'd you get this information that John Kennedy was talking, or someone on his behalf was talking, to you about the CIA being possibly involved in a coup? If there was a coup, it would come from the CIA.
Yeah, so you have this major problem here that Kennedy sees himself in the fall of 1963 because of his detente. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he also knows he's a dead man walking, which is another another section of this book, or it's going to be at least a section in John Fitzgerald Kennedy's section, which has 50 sections now. But you have Kennedy, you know, people don't understand who's Kroc, and so that gave a little background of who Kroc was to the Kennedy right. family. And you have this on October 3rd, 1963, New York Times editorial saying this about that we don't know if they're disobeying direct orders from Kennedy in Vietnam through Cabot Lodge, and this is they're saying, like, no, you're not in charge, we're in charge, too bad. And we're not paying attention to you. So this is like they were saying, it's a cancer that's malignant. And if we're going to get a coup in this country, I mean, this is like unbelievable that yeah. it's going to come from the CIA. And this is Kennedy talking through Kroc. And yeah. nobody fully understands this. And so I thought that piece really, 2 minutes and 3 seconds or whatever it was, really puts it together very well.
Yes.
Now, you juxtapose that with another chapter that's in Kennedy's section, John Fitzgerald Kennedy's section, is it's called Limit CIA Role to Intelligence. And it was an op-ed. It was written by Harry Truman, and it went into the early edition of the Washington Post on December 22nd, 1963. That's right, 1 month to the day of the assassination. It was this op-ed by Harry Truman that said, went all into about it, about you know, it was the creation of the CIA was for intelligence, it was not for what they're doing now, and I started this, and blah 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 blah, and it's gone too far, and na-na-na-na. And this was by the president who did, was under his administration, the CIA came into being, and for they're not doing what what they came into being objective was. As a matter of fact, it's like diametrically opposed. And so he
actually, said it was.
Right. So he actually comes out and gets in the Washington Post early edition. That was not picked up anywhere, as far as I know. And it was not printed in any other edition that day of the Washington Post. So it was only in the early edition of Washington Post, 1 month to the day. This is a president of the United States saying, we have a problem here, folks, with the CIA. Yeah. We have a problem, and I'm going to out it and say it. Just like Kennedy said 7 weeks before through Kroc. And so you have two presidents saying it 7 weeks before and 1 month exactly after the fact, pointing to the same place. And right. you see the media not picking up on a former president saying something of such magnitude that is off the charts.
Right.
Of course they couldn't touch it. It's a matter of fact, that's how I see things. They couldn't touch it. So they somehow just gave, you know, gave it a morning edition in the Washington Post.
Sure. I think all of the ABC agencies of the federal government are designed to assist the corporations. And when you look at the CIA, which was an outgrowth of the Office of Strategic Operations, which was going on during World War II, I've always viewed the CIA as, it wasn't for intelligence. I mean, that's...
No, they totally misrepresented themselves when they...
Sure.
The OSS was anything but.
Right.
I mean, it was, but they were, you know, the black ops section was...
Sure, they were doing...
Yes, you know, everything,
yeah,
right.
I think that's Henry Kissinger was, well, I think he was involved somehow, but anyway.
What, with the Kennedy assassination?
No, was Army Intelligence and...
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Right, okay. But so you have now this after the fact, and like I said, I see it through the eyes of that a president saying such unbelievable things and it doesn't go anywhere. And nobody knows about this, and nobody really brings it up. And so you have that, and you had another former president, Dwight Eisenhower, who on January 17th, 1960. So people always said, "Oh my God, his military-industrial complex speech was, you know, was he trying to get out, you know, get into, you know, you get into heaven or something? Free card with all the death and carnage that he caused." Nonetheless, and when did he say it? How did he have the, you know,
exactly
the strength to say it? Well, he said it 3 days before he was leaving office. Okay,
sure.
So it was
like prayer before you die. You know, bless me.
But yet he named what was happening to this military security apparatus, intelligence apparatus, that it was out of control, and it's really out of control, and I can't control it, and I'm out of here. Bye. Thanks, folks.
Yes.
And Kennedy has things I've been reading, you know, like on his inauguration day, I just saw a thing. Like, they didn't tell me about this. Eisenhower people didn't brief me in the transition about the Vietnam War and the blah, blah, blah about this. And then, and Kennedy knew all about it from the French in 54 that we took over that whole thing. But yet, the transition, they tried to keep him almost like out of the loop, a president with such something of such importance as the Vietnam War. Which says volumes to me also that they're that's the hot potato they don't want them to know too much about, so whatever. Anyway, it's just there's all of these, you know, when you dig into one thing it goes somewhere. But so you have these major players, the president, you know, Eisenhower giving this speech, you have Kroc doing this, and you have Truman 1 month later with the, all in essence saying pretty much the same thing. So you have three presidents saying the same thing about the same group of people inside our government that just happened to, you know, do something on November 22nd that they had something to do with. Now, were they the people behind it? You know, I mean, there's a whole section called assassination theories, and I limit it to 10, although I might stretch it to 11 or 12, but I have a 10 right now, and which people go along with, and to me, you know, whatever, because they own the TV stations,
sure.
Any of these groups. So it's sort of laughable to me in that respect, and in the respect that nobody wants to go any further than it was the intelligence military-industrial complex that was behind this with the CIA and the chiefs of staff, and they got certain people to go along with them, the Texas oil men and blah, blah, blah. And the mafia were all in on it. Thank you very much, because of what Bobby Kennedy was doing as attorney general against them. And Hoover was in all in because he didn't like the Kennedys one bit. And so, and LBJ was fine with it because they were about to indict his ass.
Sure.
So, you know, there was a confluence of
now,
a lot of people. Go ahead.
What do you think about the concept or the right, the killing of the king? And are you familiar with that?
I have that, yes, as one of the subsections.
Okay.
In John F. Kennedy's, one of the, I think, 50 now, subsections in there is Killing the King, and I haven't done work on that. I have you know, notes on it, and I have read about this in the past, and I think wasn't Michael Hoffman put out a piece about this, about killing the king and the 33rd level at Dealey Plaza, and
yeah, you have to look at these things because they did change the route for the
motorcade route. That, like I said in pre-interview, there, Bernard Russell has come out in 64. He wrote a piece that's on my John Fitzgerald Kennedy.net site, and 16 questions about the Kennedy assassination. It's a really excellent, because it's written in 64 by a really bright boy, and the questions he comes up with were just like, duh. Anyway, it's good to see these things written far away by intelligent people. Anyway, but I grabbed the piece, and he said the route was changed. I also, and I'm going to have to look into that, and I've looked into this, and I can't, my brain is sort of out on this one, that I've seen conflicting things on it, but I'll get to the bottom of it, and it very much did look like the route was changed. The route, the motorcade numbering, the placement of the motorcade was changed also. And that's another whole subsection of assassination from Love Field to Parkland Hospital.
It's right.
Assassination for those, that time period. And that's in there, you know, with that thing's growing by leaps and bounds, of course, of all the different aspects of the, just from Love Field to Parkland. You know, what people like to talk about a lot, the nuts and bolts of, you know, how many people were shooting at him and how many bullets and da-da-da, because, you know, back to the single bullet, you know, supposedly shot by Oswald out of a window with a rifle that they had to put three shims in the scope to straighten out the sighting, of which, by the way, they, like I said, in the paraffin test, nothing was found on Oswald's face that said he had to shoot a rifle. And you have a rifle that's known as, you know, the peacekeeping rifle. It's a horrendous rifle, and you have him supposedly shooting at Kennedy, moving away from him. The first shot had to go through like a tree, and then it's getting further and further, and it's a sloping down distance. Of course, you would have shot him coming at you before you made the turn onto Elm on Houston when he was coming directly at you. That's the shot. I mean, why they didn't try to set up Oswald to shoot then, because they didn't, because they had to have it in the place they had it, because that's where they had, I believe, five teams pointed on a certain place in the kill zone, which is where the Umbrella Man was.
Yeah.
And the Umbrella Man, his umbrella, we see pictures of him that it was just up. You know, and there's a Zapruder film coming out of the back of the sign, the Simmons Freeway sign. You see the part of the Umbrella Man. You also see the Radio Man out in the street, off the curb, with his fist up. Okay, this is military term to stop.
Yeah.
And the Umbrella Man was just not holding his umbrella up on a, you know, then a sunny day in Dallas at 12 noon. He was pumping it up and down, but we only see it up. But there are other witnesses that said, no, this guy moved it up and down. So it wasn't just kept it up against a protest, supposedly against Joe Kennedy, Jack's father, John's father, they've tracked it down later, and they said that's what his excuse was. He was in the kill zone, so it was this guy that came out with the fist up. And so he was shot exactly in this kill zone, where I believe four or five teams, eight bullets or more. You know, there was a shot. He was hit from the back, probably a Dal Tex building, in the 6 inches below the neck, where the neck meets the shoulders, a right hand side, just off the about an inch and a half off the spine. And that's the back shot. It's like simultaneously, you got hit in an entry through the throat. That you'll see in Alchin's 6 photograph, which is a real famous photograph for a few different reasons. One of them is that when you zoom in on it, you see a hole in the windshield, and that's the frontal shot. That was the entry wound that they covered up, not knowing the tracheotomy in Parkland and trauma wound one. They opened up that entry wound, which they all said was an entry wound. They opened it up for trach. So that helped disguise it to the autopsy people at Bethesda. So you had this bullet, and there's many eyewitnesses when they had the limousine parked in front of Parkland, and they were partially cleaning it out, the Secret Service. Right away at Parkland, cleaning it out. But there was many people that said reputable people said they saw the through and through bullet hole in the front windshield. Of course, this was later. The windshield was changed. The whole limousine was taken out of commission and went down to bare metal and redone with bulletproofing and blah, blah, blah. Put in service till 70, what? 78? Or 75 through Ford. And
anyway. All righty. We've got a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. Somebody in the chat room wanted to know if you have read Plausible Denial, Was the CIA Involved in the Assassination of JFK by Mark Lane? Did you ever read that?
I've read when it was a long time ago in a place far away. I read parts of it. But But no, I haven't read the whole book by Lane. And of course, one of the first early writers on this, he was worked for Kennedy in New York in 60's campaign. Lane, Oswald's mother, asked Lane to be the lawyer. He didn't really want any of it, which... I mean, the whole Warren Commission was, as you mentioned early on, these commissions are set up to fail. And this one was 889 pages of failure. And so they sort of avalanched you with their apologetic reasoning. And I mean, you see, it's just there's so many witnesses and so many things. It was like, here's one story that I just... supposedly, the Chief Justice Warren actually went to Dallas to interview, and I just heard this once, so I read it once or heard it, I can't even remember anymore, but it just made me laugh that he was interviewing the this man that was the ex bartender at the Carousel Club, Jack Ruby's, you know, whatever, burlesque strip joint, whatever you want to call it, in Dallas, the Chief Justice went down there, which I thought was amazing. I'm going to have to follow up on this because it is. And he asked this guy, you know, well, what did you do before? And he said something like, well, I was in a, like the Army Rangers type of thing as a, you know, the top marksman. And Earl Warren's next question is like about how to pour drinks or something. And so his, he didn't realize that maybe who this guy was. And as soon as he realized, he opened up the door to holy blank. He changed the subject 180 degrees away from that this guy could have anything. And I find this kind of stuff just beyond humorous in a really sad way. That yes. He stumbled upon something, and maybe he didn't stumble upon it because he is the top guy, and he went to Dallas to interview this. I don't know how many times that Warren went around asking people. Anyway, but it's just one little instance in this. You know, back to the foreknowledge, you not only had that party at Clint Merchant's house, but I stumbled upon something else, that he had a party the night of the assassination, Friday
night.
Wow,
that's pretty, yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't dug into that, but, you know, supposedly there was numerous parties around the Dallas elite that night, and Clint's house was one of them. So you had foreknowledge, you know, that's in-your-face type of foreknowledge, and you have another, before I get into like all these other foreknowledges, you have Dallas agent Hostie. There's good evidence that a note written to the Dallas FBI agent Hostie by Lee Harvey Oswald weeks before the assassination was not a threat to the FBI, as claimed, but was destroyed by Hostie on orders of FBI SAC Shanklin because it warned that JFK would be killed in Dallas. So this is another thing very few people know about. And Hostie came to visit him when he was being interrogated. Anyway, there's a lot of...
Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.